It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Thank you very much. Good evening and welcome to the show. We've just heard that an American astronaut went for a walk in space this afternoon, 2,000 miles above New York City, and got mugged.
And there have been more layoffs at Fort Wapping. Rupert Murdoch has fired 6 journalists for breaking their terms of employment by having English O-level.
Oh, here, Andy, before I forget, hey, let me give you one of these. It's my new business card. See, I'm moving into videos.
Video.
Video production. Nick Revel, Managing Director, pleased to meet you. Lunch? Let's check diaries and see where we've both got a window, okay? Listen, we'll touch base later in the week. I'll look forward to it. There's big bucks riding on this one, amigo. Take care. Ciao.
What?
I've been getting all the jargon together. Pretty impressive, huh?
And has it worked?
Huh?
I mean, what have you actually done?
Oh, I've done a pop video.
Really?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Picture this. Starts with this guy throwing a dart at a dartboard. In a pub, right? With 3 anarchists playing cards in the corner. Mm-hmm. Then this helicopter crashes into a pink whirlpool. That's right. The social comment bit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then
yeah.
It's back to the pub where this nude woman plays the tuba.
Tuba. Yeah.
And a giant potato peeler slices the top off Mount Fuji.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and obviously lots of dry ice and smoke all the way through.
Obviously,
know.
Yes. How much did that cost then?
Oh, well, we haven't actually made it yet, but Max is going to love it.
Max?
Max Bygraves, yeah. We're giving him a new image.
Yeah. Have you actually made any videos then, or is it all talk?
Hey, whoa, listen, baby. Last week I did my cousin's wedding.
Oh, I think I've heard of them, my cousin's wedding. Didn't they do that LP?
No. My cousin's wedding, Andy, was a wedding where my cousin got married, and I shot the video.
And if any man knows of any just cause or impediment why these two people should not be joined together in holy matrimony...
Yes!
Bloody hell, what's going on?
Hold it!
Mr. Revel, what is your objection?
I'm not happy with the angle on that shot. Not happy at all.
Mr. Revel...
Look, I'm sorry, but it's just not working.
Mr. Revel, I don't normally allow video cameras in my church, and so far I've been very tolerant.
Yeah, I know.
I've let you do 49 retakes of the bride's arrival.
I've
let you walk a white horse up the aisle.
It looked great. The symbolism in that is going to slay him.
I've even let you dress the best man in Nazi uniform. But now, I really think we must get on.
Absolutely, Vic. Absolutely. Okay, you heard the vicar, everybody, so let's go. For one, everybody concentrating, okay? And cue vicar.
If any man knows of any just...
Cut! Now look, I can hear someone sobbing. That's no good at all. We don't want Liz and Duncan looking at this in years to come and having the happiest moment of their lives spoilt by somebody crying in the background. Now come on, whoever it is, stop crying for Liz and Duncan's sake. Who is it? Who is it crying? Liz, why are you crying?
Because you're ruining our wedding, that's why. There, Liz.
Duncan, baby, I am immortalising your wedding.
We were due at the reception 6 hours ago.
It's not my fault, Lizzie. Duncan keeps straying off his mark. The bridesmaid kept dropping the chicken. And you're not helping things letting your makeup run like that, now are you?
Look, for the last time, these two people are committing themselves to each other in the eyes of God. So please...
Okay. Sorry.
Right. If any man knows of any just cause... Am I actually in shot here, Nick?
Yeah. It's a close-up, yeah.
In that case, can I straighten my cassock?
Okay, wardrobe. Quickly now, wardrobe, please. On set.
Oh, I've had enough of this. Let's forget the whole thing.
Duncan, baby, come back. Trust me. 5 minutes, okay? I'm talking 5 minutes, okay? And you...
If any man knows of any just cause or impediment why these two should not be bound together in holy matrimony, let him speak now. Or forever hold his peace.
Good. And pan round the congregation and...
Yes, I object.
What?
I object. She's married to me.
What?
And we've got 6 kids.
Oh, no!
Terrific. Cut. Print it.
Who the hell's he?
That's Nigel. Very good actor, isn't he? Totally believable.
But nobody's supposed to object.
Hey, come on, Liz. Look at me. Now, listen, that's so predictable, isn't it? You don't want your wedding video to be just like everybody else's, do you?
Yes. We want a normal wedding, don't we, Duncan? Duncan? Oh, Duncan, come back.
Okay, can we recast the groom, please, quickly, and go from the top, and let's not waste any more time now, please.
Did you get it finished?
Nah. Andy, you should never work with amateurs.
Yes, I've often thought that.
Still. Still, I got another job out of it all. Hmm? Yeah, Duncan rang me answer phone and said something about a funeral, yeah.
Oh, good, yeah. Well, later in the show, some exclusive reports.
Ian Botham, world-class all-rounder or Antichrist?
And farting in the bath, the poor man's jacuzzi. We've all done it, yeah.
Yeah, but only you invite other people to share it, Andy. We'll also be hearing how Edwina Curry MP fractured her skull trying to get under a bridge that only had 20 feet headroom.
And Prince Charles will be in the studio explaining how he uses an industrial hoover to get the wax out of his ears. But first...
And you think that's funny, do you?
What?
Making cruel old jokes about the royal family.
What's got into you?
I just don't think we should knock the royal family so much, that's all.
Excuse me, you are Nick Revel.
Yeah?
The same Nick Revel who used to stand for hours outside Buckingham Palace, lobbing bottles into the garden, on the off chance of catching Her Majesty doing a spot of weed in near the wall. That Nick Revel, yeah?
Okay, so I had a wild phase, but I've matured now. My commitment is through my art, not through the stultified grammar of politics.
Ooh! Get in, you've changed your chin.
Eh?
I remember the first time I ever met you in the Frog and Firkin pub.
Yeah, actually, I'm a radical alternative comedian, unfettered by the corruptive capitalist concepts of success.
You mean you don't get paid?
No, I mean I'm defining a new movement within comedy.
Oh, right.
A movement to bring down the system by dealing with real issues without being hemmed in by the superficial gloss of so-called show business.
Oh, right, you don't get paid and you're not funny.
You bastard.
Yeah, and 2 weeks after that, you did the cabaret, didn't you? At the Saatchi & Saatchi Christmas party, yeah.
Yeah, well.
And now, it's suddenly no jokes about the royals. What are you after, a Royal Command performance? Oh, no, I get it. It's an OBE.
It's not an OBE.
Well, I'll
it's
tell
just
you something else, Nick. The chances of his royal earness listening to this show must be a million to one. And there's no way he'll be listening if Diana's there. I've heard she finds Simon Bates intellectually taxing.
That kind of remark is well out of order. Princess Diana may have left school at 16, but she's bloody good at...
Yes. Yes, at what? Good at what?
Shopping.
Pathetic.
I know why you're so viciously anti-royalist, Andy. It's envy, isn't it? It's envy because you're not in line to the throne and I am.
What?
Royal blood, mate, in these veins. My family came over with the Normans.
Came over with the Normans? Only because there was someone in France they owed money to, I bet.
You don't actually expect me to reply to a remark like that, do you?
Oh, of course not, Nick. Royalty can't answer back.
Right. Exactly.
Hang on. Ah, yeah. Now, I should have realised long ago you were related to royalty.
Yes.
I mean, you never carry any cash, do you?
Look, it's...
Well, tough titty about the OBE, Nick, because pin your ears back, get a load of this, listeners, because here comes the true story about Princess Margaret, the parallel bars and the double joint...
Well, we seem to have lost contact with the Million Pound Radio Show, so I've a few moments to tell you about tomorrow's afternoon theatre. It's a play about the emotional trauma of a divorce.
So? That's it.
Yes, that's it.
Sarah?
Yes?
Nothing. Nothing. That's all there is to say, somehow. Nothing.
My lawyer will write to you.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Do you want the photographs?
No. You can keep the photographs.
That's you can keep the photographs. An award-winning play by Denzil Summerstown about the emotional agony of a divorce, as seen from the viewpoint of an extremely rich writer with a very big house. But now, back to the Million Pound Radio Show.
Well, this week, Nick's been out looking at the pick of the films. What did you go and see?
Well, I took in the latest Michael Winner film.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a New York vigilante who restores law and order by murdering 1,296 people.
Sounds great.
Oh, right. It's brilliant, Andy. Yeah. You know, blood everywhere, people having their legs shot away, blood spurting out of their mouths in slow motion.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Everyone taking the law into their own hands and mowing people down with machine guns.
Terrific.
Know? Oh, it's a fantastic film. And all proceeds go to the W.P.C. Fletcher Memorial Fund, of which Michael Winner is, of course, chairman.
Well, he's a caring person.
He's a caring person. And now it's time for an investigative report. And this week, Andy's been looking at the world of fashion.
I'm in the headquarters of one of Britain's leading fashion gurus, Jason Coventry. Now, Jason, I know nothing about the world of fashion.
No, I can say that.
Like many people, I'm bewildered by the vagaries of the fashion world. For instance, I think I'm right in saying dungarees are in.
Yeah, dungarees come in about 15 minutes ago.
Ah.
But they went out 5 minutes later.
Oh. Should I take mine off then?
No, give them another 20 minutes, they might come back in again.
All right. Well, now I'm with Jason Coventry's chief designer, Piers Lawton.
Hi, Piers.
What's the thinking behind this suit you're designing here?
Please, no, I don't like to call it a suit. This is a personalised life concept. No, you see, it's not just a garment. With this, you get a whole lifestyle, right? In fact, you get a flat, 3 kids, a divorce, a black Porsche, an Ulster, and a cottage in Lowestoft.
Oh, you get all that thrown in. That's very good value, yeah.
Well, yeah, although the cottage does need a lot of work doing, so.
Oh, right, yeah. Now, you don't just design, to use the old-fashioned term, clothes, do you?
Old-fashioned, yeah. No, I also design objets for the home, like this designer salt cellar.
It's got no holes in the top.
Well, that's right. You see, something like this says something about the kind of person you are.
What mean?
Imaginative.
Who's this?
Oh, that's Sir George from marketing. He's had a very sad personal loss.
Oh, I see.
I can't go on. Oh, God, I'm so alone and lost. Life means nothing now. I'm so lost.
Is it his wife?
No, he's mislaid Philofax.
Oh. Now I'm rejoining Jason as the fashion show itself is about to begin, and Jason's going to talk us through it.
Well, this is Marie, and she's wearing a design I call Untamed.
Yes, it's got a marvellous sort of extrovert feel, hasn't it? Especially the headgear. Now, how would you describe that?
Well, that's what we call in the fashion trade, a stuffed moose head.
Yeah. It looks quite heavy.
Yeah, well, buckling knees are coming in.
Oh, I see, right. And, now this is something special, yes.
This is Candice.
Right, now, for listeners at home, it's a sort of marvellous skin-tight pink body stocking with clusters of bright red dots. What's that called?
Measles.
Measles.
Designer measles.
Oh, I see. It's not a garment.
No, it's a disease.
Oh, right.
It's a specially fashion-conscious strain that I've been developing at Port and Dale.
Oh, right, I see, yes.
If you join the spots up, they spell my name.
Ah, very clever. Very brilliant, that. And do you think it'll catch on?
Oh, yes, I think quite a few of our audience will go home tonight taking this with them.
Yes. So diseases are very much coming in, are they?
Oh, yes, fashion-wise, it's definitely going to be the year of disease, putrefaction and the Emmanuels.
The Emmanuels, of course, yeah. Well, thank you, Jason, for leading us through the maze of the fashion world. Next week, I'll be looking at cosmetics and asking the key question, why do the women who work on cosmetics counters wear such appalling makeup?
I've always hated that record.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot better now.
Yeah, hang on. Here's another one. I've got another one. Oh, lovely.
Nice one, Andy.
It's very therapeutic, yeah.
Excuse me, Andy, I've got one.
Oh, hello, Mr. What's your one?
Yes, this cringing infidel.
Apache fog is going to lift. Lovely sunrise this morning. Beautiful.
Yeah, Mushtaq, we were actually limiting the distraction to records, not the people themselves. you've just beheaded Mike Reed.
Yeah, so?
Oh, well, I don't suppose it'll stop him working.
Incidentally, listeners, if there are any radio or TV themes that you find particularly nauseating, please write in and let us know here on the Million Pound Radio Show, and we'll smash up the record. But, of course, don't forget to include your cheque or postal order, made out to Andy Hamilton or Nick Revel, for £10 to cover costs. Andy? Andy, wake up.
Sorry, Nick, I haven't been sleeping too well recently.
All right.
I mean, come 3 a.m. last night, right? Yeah. I was still wide awake. That's the worst attack of cramp I've ever had. Cramp, it's you. You keep rolling over and cutting off the circulation of my limbs. I've probably got gangrene now.
Go to sleep.
I can't get to sleep. 7 hours I've been trying to get to sleep. I'm getting desperate. It's like the night before my Latin O-levels all over again. A mo, a mas, a mat. Caesar, having first built bridges.
Oh, shut up.
I should never have watched that film. You know those films get to me. Scared me. I kept thinking Mary Poppins was going to let go of that umbrella. Oh, God. Oh, bloody Nora. Oi! Oi, you down there! What are you doing?
Drilling great big holes in the road.
At 4 in the morning, are you mad?
Well, that's an interesting point, isn't it? I mean, what is mad? I mean, to measure madness, you've got to have some objective yardstick of sanity, ain't you? And in a world where millions... Ow!
I knew that cricket ball would come in, Andy. Trouble is, I've got nothing to throw at the Jehovah's Witnesses now. Oh, so tired. I must get to sleep. I know, I'll try counting Sir Geoffrey Howe's. 1, 2, 3. Oh, bloody hell. Hello?
Can I speak to Gary, please?
You got the wrong number.
226-5106.
Yes, that is this number.
Can I speak to Gary, please?
Look, there is no Gary here. This is not Gary's number.
It is. He wrote it down. It was the last day at the 1830 Club holiday in Ibiza. And I said, no, you won't forget me, will you, Gary? And he said, of course not, doll. And he wrote down his number, 226-5106.
Look, you moron, for the last time... This Gary does not live here. That is my number, not his. And I suspect he gave you a false number so that he would never have to encounter your stupidity again.
That's you, isn't it, Gary? Putting on a silly voice. You're a scream.
Get off my bloody phone. I am not Gary.
All right, all right. I'll ring you back in the morning, Gary.
Right. Oh, my God. What's asleep? How does she sleep through all this? She's not human. What now? And I'll try imagining I'm watching Arsenal. I'm going to kill that blackbird.
What?
It's all right, love. I'm just going to murder a blackbird. Where's my rifle? Oh, God! Sleep with 30 bald-headed orange Buddhists going past the window. Libby, look at that, will you? Look.
Ignore it.
Oi, you! Oi, you! Yes, you, the wailing Satsumas. Clear up.
Peace and love.
We wish you inner serenity.
Hare Krishna.
I don't want inner serenity. I just want some peace and quiet.
So, did you get rid of them?
Yeah, I threw my cricket bat at them.
Oh. How did they take it?
Well, as a gesture of enlightenment, they shaved my head.
Oh, so that's what happened. I thought you'd landed a job at Sellafield. Well, listeners, we're very excited this evening here on the programme that thrills, because we're able to bring you the first broadcast of a newly discovered manuscript by the famous French prophesier and foreteller of the future, Nostradamus.
That's right. Now, in case it seems strange that such an honour should have fallen to us here on the Million Pound Radio Show, we're going to read out the covering note that was found with the manuscript.
It reads, Paris, 1519. Dear Andy and Nick... I thought you might like to do some of this stuff in your radio show, which you'll be doing roughly 100 years after radio's been invented. Don't do the joke about Edwina Curry MP and the herd of donkeys, or you'll get taken off the air. Best wishes, Michel de Nostradamus. P.S. Don't go and see Absolute Beginners.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present the Chronicles of Nostradamus.
France, 1519. I, Michel de Nostradamus, 16, have just left school and I'm trying to get a bank loan to set up in business as a self-employed astrologer. Today, I had an interview with my bank manager.
Nostradamus, you are a loony. An actor, the most powerful man in the world. Grain Mountains, The Price is Right, the most popular show on television. Whatever that is. England drawing 0-0 with Morocco. You're mad. Get out of here.
The annoying thing is, I knew he was going to say that. Life is so boring when you can tell the future. You can't go to the theatre because you always know the ending. I've been banned from every betting shop in Paris. And every time I meet a nice girl, I know the relationship will end in bitterness and tears. Well, you don't have to be clairvoyant to know that, but it doesn't stop there. Even as I speak, I can foretell the nature of my own death. In 30 seconds, I will be crushed beneath the wheels of a speeding carriage, thundering down the boulevard.
Dear, dear Monsieur Nostradamus, lucky I saw you there. You could have been killed.
It missed me. I don't believe it. I have lost the gift. I have lost the gift of prophecy. Life is worth living again. I am free.
Wrong carriage.
And there the chronicles of Nostradamus end, apart from some hoof marks across the manuscript.
Right. Well, that's all for tonight. Next week, a spokesman for the Atomic Energy Authority will be explaining the good news about radioactive lamb, namely that it kills all the salmonella in doner kebabs.
And Austrian President Kurt Waldheim will be here in the studio, although he'll deny it in 40 years' time. Good night.
The Million Pound Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Felicity Montague and Harry Enfield. It was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
Well, that was the Million Pound Radio Show. But now the first in a new series on Radio 4. The Dawn of Time.
Long before man walked the face of this planet, there was a different world, a world frightening and formless, where monsters walked abroad at the dawn of time.
Who'd be a dinosaur, eh? Nothing to do but munch leaves and get duffed up by Tyrannosauruses. Yeah. Look at him ripping that poor pterodactyl to bits.
Is that a Tyrannosaurus? I thought that was a Stegosaurus.
Now, I'm a Stegosaurus.
Well, how was I supposed to know that? We Brontosauruses only have a brain the size of a pea. We do very well, considering.
Yeah, I hate being a Stegosaurus. It's all these plates up and down my back. They're so uncomfortable. Mm. And they're not exactly fashionable, are they? I mean, look at me. I look like a bloody escalator, don't I? The Diplodocus has died out yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, funeral's next Tuesday.
Right.
Funny how weather we've been having. Very nippy for the tropics. Very odd. You see that glacier over there?
Yeah.
That wasn't there last week.
Right. Was it?
We've had no summer to speak of at all this year, have we? It's very odd.
Plants are all dying?
Very odd. You know what I think? I think we're turning extinct.
Get away.
No, I do. Look, there are fewer and fewer of us around, right?
Well, it's August. Everyone goes away in August.
Something is definitely up. The plants are dying, glaciers creeping up on us, and all the mammals are walking around with smug grins on their faces. I don't like it. And another thing, everything's changing, adapting. Yesterday, right, I saw a lizard sprout wings and turn into a bird. I said, what are you doing? He burbled something about a quantum leap of evolution. Then off he flew, straight into a rock.
Well, there you are, you see. You should never try and be something you're not.
True. No doubt about it, though. Nature is opting for new technology. We're being phased out, mate. You'll be the next to go with your minute brain and crude nervous system.
There's nothing wrong with my nervous system. Ow!
What's that?
You shot on my tail.
That was 3 weeks ago. Oh, look, Casual, here comes that Tyrannosaurus.
Here, have you noticed? All the dinosaurs are disappearing.
I'm not surprised, you keep eating them all.
Well, it's not my fault. I'm lonely. So I eat for consolation.
You got pterodactyl juice all down your front.
Have I? Oh, yeah, cheers. Right, so where is everybody then?
Well, we think they might have been and gone because of extinction.
Oh, there he goes. He should never try to go for a long word like extinction. Yeah. His whole nervous system collapsed under the strain, you see? Yeah.
Well, the last of the brontosaurus is gone, eh? Mm-hmm. Sad.
Very sad.
Tragically sad. Mm-hmm. Mind if I eat him?
Be my guest, yeah.
You'll be next.
No way, mate. I'm going to adapt. I'm going to evolve into something more biologically viable, you know. See, if I could just get rid of all this armour, I'd make a perfectly respectable hippo. No, there's no way I'll be dying out from extinction.
Oh, great. Elevenses. Trouble is with these, I can never get them open. Right. Blimey, I'm the last one left. What am I going to eat tomorrow? Could try eating myself. Not bad. Nice taste. Precocious without being presumptuous. Ah, well, no danger of Tyrannosaurus is dying out. Not when we're this resourceful. I feel a bit queer.
That was The Dawn of Time. Tune in next week for episode 2, which covers the ascent of primeval man and his earliest, most important discovery. Namely, that if you paint obscure things on a wall, people will pay good money to look at them for hours and pretend they understand them.